Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now.
Down Raids Goosebumps.
If I go down, this show could be next. So visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.
Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Deep Trouble by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is the one that I was starting to do. I had about 20 minutes in, and then my fucking old hard drive crashed. So there's a non-working hard drive upstairs with part of this. Luckily, as I'm drinking a Steel Reserve as I record this, I don't remember at all what happened. I just remember being angry and disappointed. So, I look forward to that. The cover of the book has a... I don't know if it's supposed to... It's like a killer whale and hammerhead shark mixed together going towards a kid swimming. That's huge as fuck. Not the kid, the shark deal. It looks like if you took a street shark from the show Street Sharks and then made that into a real shark, that's what it would look like. Does that make sense? So you anthropomorphize a shark, turning it into a muscle-bound street shark, which is a rip-off of Ninja Turtles, and then turn that thing back into a shark. Whatever. And the tagline on it is, swimming lessons won't help you now. Once again, I'm on the next three episodes of the old Far Out podcast, and I should have another podcast soon with Sam Skills, but I'll keep you updated, you know. You know. Chapter number one. There I was, 200 feet under the sea. I was on the hunt of my life. The hunt for the great white stingray! Wait, so they are already mixing stupid sea animals. That's what they called him at the Coast Guard headquarters. But me, I called him Joe. The giant stingray had already stung 10 swimmers. People were afraid to step into the water. Panic spread all up and down the coast. That's why they sent me, William Deep Jr. of Baltimore, Maryland. Deep, because his last name, you know? Like Deep Trouble, but he's also deep under the water. And it's like severe trouble. Yes, William Deep Jr., world-famous 12-year-old undersea explorer, solver of scary ocean problems. I captured the great white shark that terrorized Myrtle Beach. I proved he wasn't so great.
Keep reading this one, dude. It's gonna be great. Fuck you.
I fought the giant octopus that ate the entire California championship surfing team. I unplugged the electric eel that sent shockwaves all over Miami. But now, I face the fight of my life. Joe, the great white stingray. Somewhere deep under the sea, he lurked. I had everything I needed. A scuba suit, flippers, amphetamines, mask, steel reserve, oxygen tank, and a poison dart gun. Wait, did something move? Just behind the giant clam, I raised my dart gun and waited for an attack. Then, suddenly, my mask clouded. I couldn't breathe. It's like my nose farted. I strained for breath. No air came. My oxygen tank. Someone must have tampered with it. There was no time to lose. 200 feet down and no air. I had to surface. Fast.
Isn't that the like last thing you want to do when you're 200 feet down? Don't you have to surface over the course of like an hour? Or else you, like, pop.
I kicked my legs, desperately trying to pull myself to the surface, holding my breath, my lungs about to burst. I was losing strength, getting dizzy. Would I make it, or would I die right here, deep under the ocean? Joe the Stingray's dinner. Panic swept over me like an ocean tide. I searched through the fogged mask for my diving partner. Where was she when I needed her? Finally, I spotted her swimming up at the surface near the boat. Help me! Save me! No air! I tried to tell her, waving my arms like a maniac.
finally, she noticed me. She swam toward me and dragged my dazed and limp body to the surface. I ripped off my mask and sucked in mouthfuls of air. "What's your problem, Aquaman?" she cried. "Did a jellyfish sting you?" My diving partner is very brave. She laughs in the face of danger. I struggled to catch my breath. No air. Someone cut off tank. Then everything went black. Chapter number 2. My diving partner shoved my head back under the water. I opened my eyes and came up sputtering. Get real, Billy, she said. Can't you just snorkel without acting like a total prick? I sighed. She was no fun. My diving partner, as in quotes, was really just my bratty sister, Sheena. I was only pretending to be William Deep Jr., undersea explorer. But would it kill Sheena to go along with it just once? My name actually is William Deep Jr., but everyone calls me Billy. I'm 12. I think I mentioned that already. Sheena is 10. She looks like me. We both have penises. Long, black hair, black straight hair, but mine is short, so disregard what I said long, and hers goes down to her shoulders like Andrew W.K. We're both skinny with knobby knees and elbows. I thought it was like, we're both skinny with knobby knees, and we have elbows, and long, narrow feet. We both have dark blue eyes and thick, dark eyebrows. That is a good look on a lady. Other than that, we're not alike at all. Sheena has no imagination. She was never afraid of monsters in her closet when she was little. She didn't believe in Santa Claus or Tooth Fairy either. She loves to say, "There's no such thing." And then she has a bumper sticker on her car that looks like a Jesus fish, but it says Darwin. She's so clever. She's like, "I'm not deluded by this. I'm an intellectual. Good luck with your fairy tales. Gotta hate atheists. And the fact that I am one." Oh god, that's such a shitty movie or move to just talk about constantly that you don't have religion and put more effort into it than if you did believe in God. Nice work, assholes. I dove underwater and pinched Sheena's leg. "Attack of the Giant Lobster Man!" "Stop it," she screamed. She kicked me in the shoulder. I came up for air. "Hey, you two," my uncle said. "Be careful down there, huh?" My uncle stood on the deck of his sea lab boat, the Cassandra. He peered down at Sheena and me snorkeling nearby. My uncle's name is George Deep, but everyone calls him Dr. D. Even my dad, who is his brother, calls him Dr. D. Maybe that's because he looks just the way a scientist should. Dr. D is short, thin, wears glasses, and a very serious, thoughtful expression. He has curly brown hair and a bald spot at the back of his head. Anyone who saw him would say, "I bet you're a scientist." People walk up to me all the time. They're like, "I bet you're the director of operations for a small tech company." Because I look like my job. Sheena and I were watching Dr. D on the Cassandra. Every year, our parents let us spend our summer vacationing with Dr. D. It sure beats hanging out at home. This summer, we were anchored just off a tiny island called Elandra in the Caribbean Sea. Is it Caribbean? There's two... Wait. This spelling right here is one R, two B's. So that's Caribbean. If it had two R's and one B, it would be Caribbean, right? Someone answer, please. Scarlet? Yoda? Franklin? No? Alright, fine. Dr. D is a marine biologist. He specializes in tropical marine life. He studies the habits of tropical fish and looks for new kinds of ocean plants and fish that haven't been discovered yet. The Cassandra is a big and sturdy boat, named after his big and sturdy girlfriend. It's about 50 feet long. Dr. D uses most of the space for labs and research rooms. Up on a deck is a cockpit where he steers the boat. He keeps a dinghy tied to the starboard, or right side of the deck, and has a huge glass tank on the port, or left side.
Hey, if you're going to be looking into I'm sure they already do this, but I was about to say, why don't they just cook meth on weird lab ships like that? And then if the cops ever come, you just tie it to a barrel and sink that shit. Has to be a full barrel, obviously, because barrels float. I'm just saying. I only know that barrels float because I saw the new Hobbit movie, too. Before then, up in the air.
Sometimes Dr. D catches very big fish and keeps them temporarily in the glass tank, usually just long enough to tag the fish for research or care for them if they are sick or injured. The rest of the deck is open space, good for playing catch or sunbathing. Dr. D's research takes him all over the world. He isn't married and doesn't have any kids. He's living the dream. He says he's too busy staring at fish. Yeah, but his dong smells like fish a lot. Because he has a lot of sex with... Okay, so this goes back to junior high when everyone was told that vaginas smell like fish, and then you get older and you're like, what? No, they don't. You have been hanging around infected people. What am I talking about? But he likes kids. Dear God, I'm not joking anymore. That's how the next paragraph starts. Oh, fuck. Note to self, don't make too many pedophile jokes. But he likes kids. That's why he invites me and Sheena to visit him every summer. Stick close together, kids, Dr. D said. And don't swim... Wait, what was the voice I was giving him? And don't swim off too far, huh? Especially you, Billy. He narrowed his eyes at me. That's his I mean it look. He never narrows his eyes at Sheena. There have been reports of some shark sightings in the area, he said with an accent no one had ever heard before. Sharks? Wow! I cried. Dr. D frowned at me. Billy, he said, this is serious. Don't leave the boat, eh? And don't go near the reef. I'm about to go near the reefer. Then he did a bong. He just did bong. I don't understand. I knew he was going to say that. Clamshell Reef is a strip club nearby, but it's also a long, red coral reef just a few hundred yards away from where we were anchored. I'd been dying to explore it ever since we got there. Don't worry about me, Dr. D, I called up to him. I won't get in trouble, Sheena muttered under her breath. Yeah, right. I reached out to give her another lobster pinch, but she dove underwater. Good, said Dr. D. Now don't forget, if you see a shark fin, try not to splash around a lot. Movement will attract it. Just slowly, steadily, return to the boat. And Sheena, I don't know if you're old enough yet, but don't go around perioding in the water. That makes him angry. We won't forget, and I'm not perioding, said Sheena, who had come up behind me, splashing like cray. I couldn't help feeling just a little bit excited. I'd always wanted to see a real live shark. I'd seen sharks at the aquarium, of course, but they were trapped in a glass tank, where they just swam around restlessly, perfectly harmless, and miserable. Not very exciting. I wanted to spot a shark's fin on the horizon, floating over the water, closer, closer, heading right for us. In other words, I wanted adventure. The Cassandra was anchored out in the ocean, a few hundred yards away from Clamshell Reef. The reef surrounded the island. Between the reef and the island stretched a beautiful lagoon. Nothing was going to stop me from exploring that lagoon, no matter what Dr. D said. Come on, Billy, Sheena called, adjusting her mask. Let's check out that school of fish. She pointed to a patch of tiny ripples in the water near the bow of the boat. She slid the mouthpiece into her mouth and lowered her head back into the water. I followed her to the ripples. I didn't say nipples, and I'm proud of myself. Soon, Sheena and I were surrounded by hundreds of tiny neon blue fish. Underwater, I always felt as if I were in a faraway world, breathing through the snorkel. I could live down here with the fish and the dolphins, I thought. I could be a little mermaid. After a while, maybe I would grow flippers and a fin, I thought, not understanding evolution at all. The tiny blue fish began to swim away, and I swam with them. They were so great-looking, I didn't want them to leave me behind. Suddenly, the fish all darted from view. I tried to follow, but they were too fast. They had vanished. Had something scared them away? I glanced around. Clumps of seaweed floated near the surface. Then, I saw a flash of red. I floated closer, peering through the mask. A few yards ahead of me, I saw bumpy red formations. Red coral. Oh no, I thought. Clamshell Reef. Dr. D told me not to swim this far. I began to turn around. I knew I should swim back to the boat. But I was tempted to stay and explore a little. After all, I was already there.
The reef looked like a red sandcastle filled with underwater caves and tunnels. Small fish darted in and out of them. In and out. In, out. In, out. In, out. In. The fish were bright yellow and blue. Total Chargers fans. Maybe I could swim over and explore one of those tunnels, I thought. How dangerous could it be? Suddenly, I felt something brush my leg. It tickled and sent a tingle up my leg. A fish? I glanced around, but I didn't see anything. Then, I felt it again. A tingling against my leg, and then it clutched me. Again, I turned to see what it was. And again, I saw nothing. My heart began to race. I knew it was probably nothing dangerous, but I wished I could see it. I turned and started back for the boat, kicking hard. But something grabbed my right leg and held on. I froze in fear. Then, I frantically kicked my leg as hard as I could. Let go. Let go of me. I couldn't see it, and I couldn't pull free. The water churned and tossed as I kicked with all my strength. Overcome with terror, I lifted my head out of the water and choked out a weak cry. Help! But it was no use. Whatever it was, it kept pulling me down, down, down to the bottom of the sea.
Chapter number 3.
Help! I cried out again. Sheena! Dr. D! I was dragged below the surface again. I felt the slimy tentacle tighten around my ankle. As I sank underwater, I turned and I saw it. It loomed, huge and dark. A sea monster. Through the churning waters, it glared at me with one giant brown eye. Butthole joke. The terrifying creature floated underwater like an enormous dark green balloon. Its mouth opened in a silent cry, revealing two rows of jagged, sharp teeth. An enormous octopus? But it had to be at least 12 tentacles. 12 long, slimy tentacles. One was wrapped around my ankle and another slid toward me. No! My arms thrashed the water. I gulped in mouthfuls of air. I struggled to the surface, but the huge creature dragged me down again. I couldn't believe this shit. As I sank, scenes from my life actually flashed before my eyes. I saw my parents waving to me as I boarded the yellow school bus for my first day of school. Mom and Dad, I'll never see them again. What a way to go, I thought. Killed by a sea monster. No one will believe it. Everything started to turn red. I felt dizzy, weak, but something was pulling me up, up to the surface, away from the tentacled monster. I opened my eyes, choking and sputtering. I stared up at Dr. D. Billy, are you all right? Dr. D studied me with concern. I coughed and nodded. I kicked my right leg. The slimy tentacle was gone. The dark creature had vanished. I heard you screaming and I thought you and saw you thrashing about, said Dr. D. I swam over from the boat as fast as I could. What happened? Dr. D had a yellow life jacket over his shoulders. He slipped a rubber lifesaver ring over my head. I floated easily now, the life ring under my arms.
When we were young, before I worked, so when I was like 14 and 15, my one like richer friend had a yacht club membership, and it was cool as fuck. And we went with him all the time there, and you know, just drank and were kids and stuff. But some of my best memories were just sitting in the San Diego Bay, surrounded by gross oil, with life jackets on, just drinking like bottles of, you know, like Gatorade with vodka, just getting drunk, peeing. Hanging out with my friends, bobbing in the bay in the sun, hours on end. Ah, to be young again. Oh, wait, now I'm just comfortably drinking. Also. Huh.
I had lost my flippers in the struggle. My mask and snorkel dangled around my neck. Sheena swam over and floated beside me, treading water.
It grabbed my leg, I cried breathlessly. It tried to pull me under.
What grabbed your leg, Billy?
Asked Dr. D.
I don't see nothing.
It was a sea monster. I told him a huge one. I felt its slimy tentacle grabbing my leg. Owies!
Something pinched my toe.
It's back!
I shrieked in horror. Sheena popped out of the water and shook her wet hair, laughing.
That was me, you fag, she cried.
Billy, Billy, Dr. D murmured. You and your wild imagination. He shook his head. You nearly scared me to death. Please don't ever do that shit again. Your leg probably got tangled in a piece of seaweed. That's all.
But...
He dipped his hand into the water and pulled up a handful of slimy green strings.
There's seaweed everywhere.
But I saw it, I shouted. I saw its tentacles and its big pointy teeth.
There's no such thing as sea monsters, said Sheena,
Miss Know-It-All. Let's discuss this on the boat, my uncle said, dropping the clump of seaweed back in the water. Come on, swim back with me, and stay away from that reef, goddammit. Swim around it.
He turned around and started swimming toward the Cassandra. I saw that the monster had pulled me into the lagoon. The reef lay between us and the boat, but there was a break in the reef we could swim through. I followed them, thinking angry thoughts. Why didn't they believe me? Why shouldn't I just bring a gun to school? That'll show them all. I had seen the creature grab my leg. It wasn't a stupid clump of seaweed. It wasn't my imagination. It was... I was determined to prove them wrong. I'd find that creature, and I'd show them myself someday. But not today. Now I was ready to go back to the safety of the boat. I swam up to Sheena and called,
Race you to the boat. Last one there is a chocolate-covered jellyfish.
She cried. I don't know what that means.
Sheena can't refuse a race. She started speeding toward the boat, but I caught her by the arm.
Wow, that's a bitch move.
Wait, I said, no fair, you're wearing flippers, take them off. Too bad, she cried, and pulled away. See you at the boat. I watched her splash away, building a good lead. She's not gonna win, I decided. I stared at the reef up ahead. It would be faster just to swim over the reef, a shortcut. I turned and started to swim straight toward the red coral. God, he's bad with directions.
Billy, get back here, Dr. D shouted.
I pretended I didn't hear him. The reef loomed ahead. I was almost there. I saw Sheena splashing ahead of me. I kicked extra hard. I knew she'd never have the guts to swim over the reef. She'd swim around the end of it. I would cut through and beat her. But my arms suddenly began to ache. I wasn't used to swimming far because I'm tubby and awful. Maybe I can stop at the reef for a rest. And rest my arms for a second, I thought. I reached the reef and turned around. Sheena was swimming to the left, around the reef. I figured I'd a few seconds to rest. I stepped onto the red coral reef and screamed in horror.
Ooh, baby, that steel reserve, I'm about to read that chapter 4.
My foot burned as if it were on fucking fire. The throbbing pain shot up my leg. I screamed and dove into the water. When I surfaced, I heard Sheena yelling, Dr. D, come quick. My foot burned, even in the cold ocean water. Dr. D came up beside me.
Billy, what's the problem now? He demanded.
I saw him do something really stupid, Sheena said, smirking. If my foot hadn't been burning up, I definitely would have punched her fucking lights out, because I punch girls. That's the kind I am, person I am. I'm fucking Billy, the fucking girl puncher.
My foot,
I moaned like the fucking girl punching bitch I am.
I stepped on the reef and...
Dr. D held on to the lifesaver ring around my waist.
Ow, that's painful, he said, reaching up to pat my shoulder.
But you'll be all right. The burning will stop in a little while.
That's a new voice for him.
He pointed to the reef.
All that bright red coral is fire coral.
Huh? Fire coral? I stared back at it. Even I knew that, Sheena said.
It's covered with a mild poison,
my uncle continued in his new voice. When it touches your skin, it burns like fire.
Now he tells me, I thought.
Don't you know anything?
Sheena asked sarcastically. She was asking for it. She really was.
You're lucky you only burned your foot, Dr. D said.
Coral can be very sharp. You could have cut your foot and got poison into your bloodstream.
Then you'd really be in trouble. I wonder if it's deep trouble, you know? It'd be funny if they said that because that's the name of the book, but they didn't.
Not they. The great R.L. Stein. I apologize. I just did that thing that Catholic people do where they touch their...
spectacles, testicles, wallet, watch, or whatever that is, when you do the little cross sign.
Wow! What kind of trouble? Sheena asked. She seemed awfully eager to hear about all the terrible things that could have happened to me. Dr. D's expression turned serious. The poison, it could paralyze you, he said.
Oh, great, I said.
So keep away from the red coral from now on, Dr. D warned. And stay away from that lagoon, too, baby.
But that's where the sea monster lives, I protested. We have to go back there. I have to show you.
Sheena bobbed in the blue-green water.
No such thing. No such thing, she chanted, her favorite phrase. No such thing. Right, Dr. D?
Well, you never know, Dr. D replied thoughtfully.
We don't know all of the creatures that live in the ocean, Sheena. It's better to say that scientists have never seen one.
So there, She-Ra, I said.
Sheena spit a stream of water at me. She hates it when I call her She-Ra.
Listen, kids, I'm serious about staying away from this area, said Dr. D.
There may be a sea monster in that lagoon, but there could be sharks, poisonous fish, and electric eels. Any number of dangerous creatures. Don't swim over there.
I really like the new Dr. D voice way more than the one that sounded like a New York Italian guy.
He paused and frowned at me, as if trying to make sure I'd been paying attention.
How's your foot feeling, Benny? He asked.
It's a little better now, I told him.
Good. Enough adventure for one morning. Let's get back to the biggity-iggity boat. It's almost lunchtime.
We all started swimming back to the Cassandra. As I kicked, I felt something tickle my leg again.
Seaweed?
No.
It brushed against my thigh like fingers.
Cut it out, Sheena, I shouted angrily and spun around to splash water in her face, but she wasn't there.
She wasn't anywhere near me. She was up ahead, swimming beside Dr. D.
Sheena couldn't possibly have tickled me, but something definitely did.
I stared down at the water, suddenly gripped with terror. What was down there? Why was it teasing me like that? Was it preparing to grab me again and pull me down forever? Forever, ever? Forever, ever, ever?
Chapter 5! Franklin hates me right now, I've...
Alexander DeBrow, Dr. D's assistant, helped us aboard the boat.
Hey, I heard shouting, Alexander said. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine and dandy, like sour candy.
Alexandy, said Dr. D.
Billy stepped on some fine coral, but he's all right.
As I climbed up the ladder, Alexander grabbed my hand and pulled me aboard.
Wow, Billy, he said. Fire coral. I accidentally bumped into that fire coral my first day here. I saw stars. I really did, man. You sure you're okay?
I nodded and showed him my foot.
Feels better now, but that wasn't the worst thing that happened. I almost got eaten by a sea monster.
All right, I'll stop doing that voice. As soon as he stops being a bitch.
No such thing, no such thing, Sheena chanted.
I really saw it, I insisted. They don't believe me, but it was there, in the lagoon. It was big and green. Alexander smiled.
If you say so, Billy, he said.
He winked at Sheena. I wanted to punch his fucking teeth in.
Big deal, science student. What does he know? Alex was in his early 20s, but... unlike Dr. D, he didn't look like a scientist. He looked more like a football player. He was very tall, about 6'4", and muscular. He had thick, wavy, blonde hair and blue eyes that crinkled in the corners. He had broad shoulders and big, powerful-looking hands. He spent a lot of time in the sun and had a smooth, dark tan.
Wow, Billy is noticing a lot about this guy.
I hope you're all really hungry, Alexander said. I made chicken salad sandwiches for lunch.
Oh, great, Sheena said, rolling her eyes.
Alexander did most of the cooking. He thought he was good at it, but he wasn't. I went below deck to my cabin to change out of my wet bathing suit. My cabin was really just a tiny sleeping cubby with a cupboard for my things. Sheena had one just like it. Dr. D and Alexander had bigger cabins that they could actually walk around in. We ate in the galley, which was what Dr. D called the boat's kitchen. It had a built-in table and built-in seats, and a small area for cooking. When I entered the galley, Sheena was already sitting at the table. There was a big sandwich on a plate in front of her, and one waiting for me. Neither of us was too eager to eat Alexander's chicken salad. The night before, we had Brussels sprouts casserole.
Why do people eat on Brussels sprouts so much? I love me a Brussels sprout.
For breakfast this morning, he served us whole wheat pancakes that sank to the bottom of my stomach like the Titanic going down. Poop joke!
You first, I whispered to my sister. Uh-uh, Sheena said, shaking her head. You try it. You're older. My stomach growled. I sighed. There was nothing to do but taste it. I sank my teeth into the sandwich and started chewing.
Not bad, I thought at first. A little chicken, a little mayonnaise. It actually tasted like a regular chicken salad sandwich. Then, suddenly, my tongue started to burn. My whole mouth was on fire.
That's what it's like when I rap, you guys. I just spit hot fire all day.
I let out a cry and grabbed for the glass of iced tea in front of me. I downed the entire glass. Fire coral! I screamed. You put fire coral in the chicken salad! Alexander laughed. Just a little chili pepper. For the taste. You like it? It's chili pea. You know, like Jesse used to put in his meth.
I think I'd rather have cereal for lunch, Sheena said, setting down her sandwich, if you don't mind.
You can't have cereal for every meal, Alex replied, frowning. No wonder you're so skinny, Sheena. You never eat anything but cereal. Where's your spirit of adventure? No guy likes a skinny girl, but don't get too fat, because guys don't like that either. Just have some curves on you. Everyone loves big boobs.
I think I'll have cereal, too, I said sheepishly, just for a change of pace.
Dr. D came into the galley. What's for lunch? He asked.
Chicken salad sandwiches, said Alexander. I made them spicy.
Very spicy, I warned him.
Dr. D glanced at me and raised an eyebrow.
Oh, really? He said. You know, I'm not very hungry. I think I'll just have siggity-iggity cereal for lunch.
Maybe Billy and I can make dinner tonight, Sheena offered. She poured a cereal in a bowl and added milk. It's not fair for Alexander to cook all the time.
That's a nice idea, Sheena, said Dr. D. What do you two know how to make?
I know how to make brownies from a mix, I offered.
And I know how to make fudge, said Sheena. Said Dr. D. Maybe I'll do the cooking tonight. How does grilled fish sound?
Great, I said.
Ooh, drinking break.
After lunch, Dr. D went into his office to go over some notes. Alexander led Sheena and me into the main lab to show us around. The work lab was really cool. It had three big glass tanks along the wall filled with weird, amazing fish.
Wait, they have weird, rare fish and they just toss them together and hope that they don't kill each other?
I bet they put more thought in this because they're marine biologists, not assholes that make a podcast about children's books.
The smallest tank held two bright yellow seahorses and an underwater trumpet. The underwater trumpet was a long, red and white fish shaped like a bong. There were also a lot of guppies swimming around in this tank. Another tank held some flame angelfish, which were orange-red like fire, and had a harlequin tuskfish with orange and aqua tiger stripes for camouflage. The biggest tank held a long, black and yellow snake-like thing with a mouth full of teeth.
Ugh! Sheena made a disgusted face as she stared at the long fish. That one is really gross.
That is a black ribbon eel, said Alexander. He bites, but he's not deadly. We call him Biff.
Rad.
I snarled through the glass at Biff, but he ignored me. I wondered what it would be like to come face to face with Biff in the ocean. His teeth looked all gnarly and shit, like he was British and a tweaker, but he wasn't really as big as the sea monster. I figured William Deep Jr., world-famous undersea explorer, could handle it. I turned away from the fish tanks and stood by the control panel, staring at all the knobs and dials.
What does this do?
I asked. I pushed a button. A loud horn blared. We all jumped startled.
It honks the horn, Alexander said, laughing, when he should have been yelling at people not to touch things.
Dr. D told Billy not to touch things without asking first. Thank you, Sheena. I appreciate that. Me. Diggity iggity dune. I'm just going to keep doing the iggity thing. He told him a million times and he never listens. Shut up, She-Ra,
I said sharply.
You shut up.
Hey, no problem, said Alexander, raising both hands, motioning for us to chill the fuck out.
No harm done. I turned back to the panel. Most of the dials were lit up, with little red indicators moving across their faces. I noticed one dial that was dark, its red indicator still.
What's this for? I asked, pointing to the dark dial. It looks like you forgot to turn it on.
Oh, that controls the Nansen bottle, Alexander said. It's broken.
What's a Nansen bottle? Asked Sheena and Dune.
It collects samples of seawater from way down deep, said Alexander.
Why don't you fix it? I asked.
We can't afford to.
Thanks, Obama, said Alexander.
Why not? Asked Sheena. Doesn't the university give you money? We both knew that Dr. D's research was paid for by a university in Ohio.
They gave us money for our research, Alexander explains, but it's almost gone. We're waiting to see if they'll give us more. In the meantime, we don't have money to fix things.
What if the Cassandra breaks down or something? I asked.
Then I guess we'll have to put her in the dry dock for a while, said Alexander, or else find a new way to get more money.
This is where my plot comes into play. They have a whole laboratory that can move and hide evidence,
and easily go into ports where they can buy pseudoephedrine. This is going to be... I'm just going to write my own Goosebumps book about a ship that cooks meth.
Wow, said Sheena. That would mean no more summer visits. I hated to think that the Cassandra just sitting on a dock. Even worse was the thought of Dr. D being stuck on land with no fish to study. Our uncle was miserable whenever he had to go ashore. He didn't feel comfortable unless he was on a boat. I know, because one Christmas he came to our house to visit. Usually Dr. D is fun to be with, but that Christmas visit was a nightmare. Dr. D spent the whole time pacing through the house. He barked orders at us like a sea captain, or maybe the meth addict that he is. Maybe he is cooking there. He gets away from his stash for a couple days and is miserable, pacing and yelling. I can read between the lines, R.L.
Billy, sit up straight, he yelled at me. Sheena, swab the decks.
Oh, Billy, sit up straight, he yelled. Sheena, swab the decks. He just wasn't himself. Finally, on Christmas Eve, my dad couldn't take that shit anymore. He told Dr. D to shape up or get the fuck out. Dr. D ended up spending a good part of Christmas Day in the bathtub playing with my old toy boats. As long as he stayed in the water, he was back to normal. I never want to see Dr. D stranded on land again.
Don't worry, kids, Alexander said. Dr. D has always found a way to get by. I hoped Alexander was right. I studied another strange dial, marked sonar probes.
Hey, Alexander, I said. Will you show me how the sonar probes work?
Sure, said Alexander. Just let me finish a few chores. By the way, when you have a name that can be way shorter and just be Alex rather than Alexander and use the whole name, that's a gay thing. It's, you know, if I went by Zachary instead of Zach, and he's going by Alexander instead of Alex, that's a gay thing. Oh, hey, Steven. Hey, Christopher. That's how you do it. That's how you know someone's gay.
He walked over to the first fish tank. He scooped out a few guppies with a small net.
Who wants to feed Biff today?
Not me, said Sheena. Yuck. No way, I said, as I stepped to a porthole and peered out. I thought I heard a motor outside. So far, we had seen very few other boats. Not many people passed by Alandra. A white boat chugged up to the side of Cassandra. It was smaller, but newer than our boat. A logo on the side said Marina Zoo. A man and a woman stood on the deck of the zoo boat. They were both neatly dressed in khaki pants and button-down shirts. The man had a short, neat haircut, and the woman's brown hair was pulled back in a ponytail. She carried a black briefcase. The man waved to someone on the deck of the Cassandra. I figured he had to be waving at Dr. D. Now, Sheena and Alexander stood beside me at the porthole, watching.
Who's that? Sheena asked.
Alexander cleared his throat. I'd better go see what this is about,
he said. He handed Sheena the net with the guppies in it. Here, he said, feed Biff.
I'll be back later.
He left the lab in a hurry. Sheena looked at the squirming guppies in the net and made a face. I'm not gonna stay here and watch Biff eat these poor guppies. She stuck the net in my hand and ran out of the cabin. I didn't want to see Biff. I assume Biff is short for Biff Baff. Bodie Bi-Bowler. Bocaine Bawkins. Whatever. I didn't want to watch Biff eat the poor fish either, but I didn't know how else or what else to do with them. I quickly dumped the guppies into Biff's tank. The eel's head shot forward. His teeth clamped down on the fish. The guppy disappeared. Biff grabbed for another one. He was a fast eater. I dropped the net on the table and walked out of the lab. I made my way down the narrow passageway, planning to go up on the deck for some air. I wondered if Dr. D would let me do some more snorkeling this afternoon. If he said yes, maybe I would swim towards the lagoon, because I don't learn anything. See if I could find any sign of the monster. Was I scared? Yes. But I was also determined to prove to my sister and uncle that I wasn't crazy, that I wasn't making it up. I was passing Dr. D's office when I heard voices. I figured Dr. D and Alexander must be in there with the two people from the zoo. I paused for a second. I didn't mean to be dropping no eaves, I swear, but the man from the zoo had a loud voice, and I couldn't help but hear him. And what he said was the most amazing thing I had ever heard in my whole life. I don't care how you do it, Dr. Deep, the man howled, but I want you to find that mermaid.
Chapter 6 goes out to Lucas L. of Pittsburgh. Thanks for always caring. I thoroughly appreciate it and always have.
A mermaid? Was he serious? I couldn't believe it. Did he really want my uncle to find a real live mermaid? I knew Sheena would start chanting,
no such thing, no such thing.
But here was a grown-ass man, a man who worked for a zoo, talking about a mermaid. It had to be real. My heart started to pound with excitement. I might be one of the first people on Earth ever to see a mermaid, I thought. And then I had an even better thought. What if I was the one to find her? I'll be famous. I'd be on TV and shit, flexing my muscles, getting vodka sponsorships, being like, swag, Hummer H2, that's an outdated car, I don't know why I reference it, it's like a decade old, swag, William Deep Jr., the famous sea explorer. Well, after I heard that, I couldn't just walk away. I had to hear more. Holding my breath, I pressed my ear to the door and listened.
Mr. Showalter, Miss Wickman, please understand, I heard Dr. D saying. I'm a scientist, not a circus trainer. My work is serious. I can't waste my time looking for fairy tale creatures.
We're quite serious, Dr. Deep, said Miss Wickman. There is a mermaid in these waters, and if anyone can find her, you can. I heard Alex ask, what makes you think there's really a mermaid out there? A fisherman from a nearby island spotted her, replied the man from the zoo. He said he got pretty close to her, and he's sure she's real. He saw her near the reef. This reef. Just off Alandra.
The reef. Maybe she lives in the lagoon.
I leaned closer to the door. I didn't want to miss a word of this ship.
Some of these fishermen are very superstitious, Miss Showalter.
Mister, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a lady, man. My uncle scoffed. For years there have been stories, but no real reason to believe them.
We didn't believe the man ourselves, said the woman, not at first, but we asked some other fishermen in the area, and they claimed to have seen the mermaid too. I think they're telling the truth, their descriptions of her match down to the smallest detail. I could hear my uncle's desk chair creak. I imagined him leaning forward as he asked, and how exactly did they describe her?
They said she looked like a young girl, Mr. Showalter told him, except for the... He cleared his throat. The fishtail. She's small, delicate, with long, blonde hair. They described her tail as shiny and bright green. said the woman. I know it sounds incredible, Dr. Deep, but we spoke to the fishermen. We were convinced that they really saw a mermaid. There was a pause. Was I missing something? I pressed my ear to the door. I heard my uncle ask, "And why, exactly, do you want to capture this mermaid?" "Obviously, a real live mermaid would be a spectacular attraction at a zoo like ours," said the woman. "People from all around the world would flock to see her. The Marina Zoo would make millions of dollars."
Okay. I like that the book just makes it so anyone that has any interest in making money, which is everyone on the planet, is a horrible person. They're like, "Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to make money." And it's like, "Oh, that's it. They're making millions of dollars to help, you know, save tons of species of animals, but, you know, they're the devil."
"We are prepared to pay you very well for your trouble, Dr. Deep," said Mr. Showalter. "I understand you are running out of money. What if the university refuses to give you more? It would be terrible if you had to stop your important work just because of that."
"The Marina Zoo can promise you $1 million fucking dollars," said the woman,
"if you find the mermaid. I'm sure your lab could run for a long time on that much money."
A mill would be ill, I thought. How could Dr. D turn down that kind of money? My heart was pounding with excitement. I pushed against the door, straining to hear. What would my uncle's answer be?
Chapter number 7. This one also goes out to Lucas if he's listening, because he was like, "Yo, I thought this book was about sharks, but it's about mermaids, so fuck that noise." Number 7, yeah!
Leaning hard against the door, I heard Dr. D let out a long, low whistle. "That's quite a lot of money, Ms. Wickman," I heard him say. There was a long pause. Then he continued,
"But even if the mermaids exist, I wouldn't feel right about capturing one for a zoo to put on display."
"I promise you we would take excellent care of her," replied Mr. Showalter. "Our dolphins and whales are very well cared for. The mermaid, of course, would get extra special attention."
"And remember, Dr. Deep," said Miss Wickman, "if you don't find her, someone else will. And there's no guarantee that they will treat the mermaid as well as we will."
"I suppose you're right,"
I heard my uncle reply, somewhat like Mitch Hedberg.
"It would certainly be a big boost to my research if I found her."
"Then you'll do it?" asked Mr. Showalter eagerly.
"Say yes, Dr. D,"
I thought. "Say yes!" I pressed my whole body against the door.
"Yes," my uncle answered. "If there's really a mermaid, I'll find her."
"Excellent!" I thought.
"Very good," said Mr. Wickman.
"Excellent decision," Mr. Showalter added enthusiastically. "I knew we had come to the right man for the job. We'll be back in a couple days to see how the research is going. I hope you'll have some good news by then," Miss Wickman said.
"That's not much time," I heard Alexander remark.
"We know," Miss Wickman replied, "but obviously the sooner you find her, the better."
"And please," Mr. Showalter said, "please keep this secret. No one must know about the mermaid. I'm sure you can imagine what would happen if—" Crash!
I lost my balance. I fell against the door. To my shock, it swung the fuck open, and I tumbled into the room.
Chapter number 8!
I landed in a heap in the center of the cabin floor. Dr. D, Mr. Showalter, Miss Wickman, and Alexander all gaped at me with their mouths open. I guess they hadn't expected me to drop in.
"Hi, everyone," I murmured. I felt my face burning. I knew that I was blushing. "Nice day for a mermaid hunt, or a mermaid cunt, am I right?"
No one gave me nucks. Mr. Showalter jumped to his feet angrily. He glared at my uncle. This was supposed to be a secret. Alexander strode across the room and helped me to my feet.
"Don't worry about Billy," he said.
He put a protective arm around me. "You can trust him."
"I'm very embarrassed," Dr. D told his visitors. "This is my nephew, Billy Deep. He and his sister are visiting me for a few weeks."
"Can they keep a secret?" asked Miss Wickman.
Dr. D turned his gaze on Alexander.
Alexander nodded.
Wait, he's not talking now. I should stop talking like that.
Yes, I'm sure they can, said Dr. D. Billy won't say shit to anyone, right, Billy?
He narrowed his eyes at me. I really do hate when he does that, but this time I couldn't blame him. I shook my head. No, I won't tell anyone, I swear.
Just to be on the safe side, Billy, said Dr. D. Don't mention the mermaid to Sheena. She's too young to have...
She's too young to keep secrets and shit.
I promise, I said solemnly.
I raised my right hand, as if swearing an oath. I won't breathe a word to Sheena.
This is cool as shit and tight as fuck. I knew the biggest secret in the world, and Sheena wouldn't have a clue. The man and woman from the zoo exchanged glances. I could see they were still worried.
Alexander said, you really can trust Billy. He's very serious for someone his age.
You bet your fucking sweet ass I'm serious, I thought. I'm William Deep Jr., world famous mermaid catcher.
Mr. Showalter and Miss Wickman seemed to relax a little.
Good, said Miss Wickman. She shook hands with Dr. D, Alexander, and me.
Mr. Showalter gathered up some papers and put them in his briefcase.
We'll see you in a few days, then, said Miss Wickman. Good luck.
I won't need luck, I thought, watching them roar away on their boat a few minutes later.
I won't need luck because I have skill and daring and cunning, an uncunning linguist.
My head spun with all kinds of exciting thoughts.
Would I let Sheena be on TV with me after I single-handedly captured the mermaid? Fuck no!
Drinking break.
That night, I sneaked off the boat and slipped into the dark water. I swam noiselessly towards the lagoon, because that's how people die. I glanced back at the Cassandra. It floated quietly. All the portholes were dark.
Good, I thought. No one is awake to notice that I'm gone. No one knows I'm out here. No one knows I'm swimming in the sea at night all alone. Dear God, that's a horrible plan.
Swimming steadily, easily, under the silvery moonlight, I made my way around the reef and into the dark lagoon. I slowed my stroke just past the reef. My eyes darted eagerly around the lagoon. The waves lapped gently under me. The water sparkled as if a million tiny diamonds floated on the surface. Where was the mermaid? I knew she was there. I knew I would find her here. From deep below me, I heard a low rumble. I listened hard. The sound, faint at first, grew louder. Waves tossed as the sound became a steady roar. It rumbled like an earthquake on the ocean floor like the one that happened in Los Angeles today, but not in San Diego, even though people in San Diego claimed they felt it, but I didn't. The waves tumbled and tossed. I struggled to stay on top of them. What was happening? Suddenly, from the middle of the lagoon, a huge wave swelled. It rose higher, like a gigantic geyser, higher, over my head, as tall as a building. A tidal wave? No. The wave broke. The dark creature pushed up underneath it. Water slid off its grotesque body. Its single eyes stared out darkly at me. Its tentacles writhed and stretched. I screamed. The monster blinked its muddy brown eye at me. I tried to turn and swim away, but it was fast as fuck. The tentacles whipped out and grabbed me, tightening around my waist. Then, a slimy, cold tentacle wrapped around my neck and started to squeeze.
I don't mean to cause alarm, but I'm currently out of steel reserve and a little freaked out.
Chapter number 9.
I can't breathe.
I managed to choke out. I tugged the tentacle twining?
I don't know this fucking verb.
Around my throat. Let's just do this. I tugged at the tentacle all wrapped in shit around my throat.
Help me, somebody!
I opened my eyes and stared up at the ceiling.
I was laying in bed, in my cabin. Fuck, it was all just a dream stories. Fuck them. Fuck North. Fuck, I guess just pretty much North. Fuck North and Elijah Wood. But he made up for it since then, but whatever. Okay. The sheet was wrapped around me tightly. I took a deep breath and waited for my heart to stop pounding. A dream. Only a dream. I rubbed my eyes, lifted myself, and peered out of the porthole. The sun was just rising over the horizon. The sky was morning red. The water, a hazy purple. Seriously, fuck, it was all just a dream. That's such hack bullshit. You're better than that shit, R.L. Stine. Fuck that.
Squinting past the reef, I saw the lagoon. Perfectly still. Not a monster in sight. I wiped the sweat from my forehead with my pajama sleeve. No need to be afraid, I told myself. It was just a dream. A bad dream. A bad book, more like it. I shook my head, trying to forget about the sea monster. I couldn't let it scare me. I couldn't let it stop me from finding that mermaid. Was anyone up? Had I yelled out loud in my sleep? I listened carefully. I could hear only the crackling, creaking of the boat, the splashing of waves against its side. The pink morning sunlight cheered me up. The dark water looked inviting. I slipped into my bathing suit and crept out of my cabin as quietly as I could. I didn't want anyone to hear me. In the galley, I saw a half-empty pot of coffee sitting on the warmer. That meant Dr. D was up. I tiptoed down the passageway and listened. I could hear him puttering around in the main lab. I grabbed my snorkel, flippers, and mask and went on up the deck. Nobody up there.
Great, I'm drinking water like an idiot.
The coast was clear. Silently, I climbed down the ladder, slipping in the water, snorkeled toward the lagoon. I know it was crazy.
See, I don't have steel reserve, and immediately I can't read.
I know it was crazy to sneak out like... I know it was crazy to sneak away like that. But you can't imagine how excited I was, even in my wildest daydreams, as William Deep Jr., undersea explorer. I never thought I would see a real live mermaid. As I snorkeled toward the lagoon, I tried to imagine what she would look like. Mr. Showalter had said she looked like a young girl with long blonde hair and a green fishtail. Weird, I thought. Half human, half fish. I tried to imagine how she pooped and peed, and I tried to also imagine my own legs replaced by a fishtail. I'd be the greatest swimmer on Earth if I had a fishtail, I thought. I could win the Olympics without even practicing, like that dude that likes Subway and bongs. This is like my third bong reference. I wonder if she's pretty, I thought, and I wonder if she can talk. I hope she can. She can tell me all kinds of secrets of the ocean. I wonder how she breathes underwater. I wonder if she thinks like a human or like a fish. So many questions. This is going to be the greatest adventure of my life, I thought. After I'm famous, I'll write a book about my undersea adventures. I'll call it Courage of the Deep by William Deep Jr. Maybe someone will even turn it into a movie. God, sounds like a hack book. I raised my head and saw that I was nearing the reef. I concentrated on keeping away from it. I didn't want to touch that fire coral again. I couldn't wait to explore the lagoon. I was so excited, I forgot all about the terrifying dream I had the night before. I kicked my legs carefully, watching out for red coral. I was nearly past the reef when I felt something brush my leg. Oh! I cried out and swallowed a mouthful of salty water. Ow! Skeet, 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 skeet. Sputtering and choking, I felt something wrap around my ankle.
Really, car alarm? Thank you.
As it grabbed me, it scratched my ankle. This time, I knew for sure it wasn't seaweed. Seaweed doesn't have claws.
Hey, I got through that without screwing up again. Good for me.
Chapter 10, this one goes out to Lax Dude for saying nice things to me, when in reality I know he'd prefer to be mean to me, but the fact that I know that he'd prefer to be mean makes the nice things even more valid. Yeah.
Did I say chapter 10 during that song?
Ignoring the panic that nearly froze me, I kicked and thrashed with all my strength. Stop it! Stop kicking me! A voice screamed. The mermaid? Hey! I cried out, angrily, as Sheena's head appeared beside me. She pulled up her snorkeling mask.
I didn't scratch you that hard, she snapped. You don't have to go crazy.
What are you doing here? I cried.
What are you doing here?
She demanded nastily.
You know, Dr. D told us not to swim here.
Then you shouldn't be here, should you? I shouted. I knew you were up to something, so I followed you, Sheena replied.
I'm burping. So right now I switched to drinking a drink that my girlfriend got me into, which is probably the most feminine drink I've had on the show, which is a Dirty Shirley, which is just a Shirley Temple with lots of vodka. So it's a bunch of vodka, a little bit of grenadine, and then I have some Diet 7-Up on top. Because the grenadine is more than enough calories as is.
Anyway, Sheena replied, adjusting her mask.
I'm not up to anything, I lied. I'm just snorkeling.
Sure, Billy.
You're just snorkeling at 6:30 in the fucking morning, exactly where you're not supposed to, and where you burned your fucking foot on that fire coral yesterday. You're either up to something or you're batshit crazy.
She squinted at me, waiting for a response.
What a choice. I was either up to something or crazy. What should I admit to?
If I admitted I was up to something, I'd have to tell her about the mermaid, and I couldn't do that.
Okay, I said, with a casual shrug. I guess I'm just crazy.
Well, big news, she muttered sarcastically.
Come on back to the boat, Billy, said Sheena. Dr. D will be looking for us.
You go back. I'll be there in a little while.
Billy!
Said Sheena.
Dr. D is going to be very mad. He's probably ready to hop in the dinghy and search for us right now. I was about to give up and go with her. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a big splash on the other side of the reef.
The mermaid, I thought. That's got to be her. If I don't go look for her now, I might miss her. I turned away from Sheena and started swimming very fast, straight for the reef.
I could hear Sheena screaming, Billy, come back! Billy!
I thought I heard an extra note of panic in her voice, but I ignored it. Just Sheena trying to scare me again, I thought.
Billy! She screamed again. Billy!
I kept on swimming. No way I was going to stop now.
But,
as it turned out, I should have listened to that bitch.
Chapter 11 goes out to Giovanni because I gotta cover the whole Pod Gods thing, even though you've already said that Pod Gods may end at 100 or be an April Fool's joke where it doesn't end, but still my NGO Chapter 11.
Swimming fast, I raised my head, searching for a good place to swim safely over the fire coral. I saw another splash across the lagoon near the shore.
That's got to be the mermaid, I thought excitedly. I stared hard, trying to catch a glimpse of her. I thought I saw some kind of fin.
I made my way past the reef into the deep, still waters of the lagoon. I strained to see the mermaid, but my mask had fogged.
Most likely because my nose farted again.
Nose farts. If your nose farted, it would smell bad because that's where you smell things from, but farts stink.
Rats, I thought. What a time for my mask to start leaking. I came up for air and pulled off the mask. I hoped I wouldn't lose sight of the mermaid because of this. I wiped the water from my eyes, leaving the mask wrapped around my wrist, stared toward the lagoon. That's when I saw it, a few hundred yards away. Not the green fish tail of a mermaid. The fin I saw was gray-white, was a gray-white triangle sticking straight out of the water.
The fin of a hammer-fucking-head shark!
As I stared in horror, the fin turned in the water and then ripped toward me, moving steady and straight as a torpedo. But seriously, that Dirty Shirley is really good.
Chapter number dozen.
Where was Sheena? Was she still behind me? I glanced back. I could see her in the distance, splashing back to the boat. I was forced to forget about Sheena as the gray fin swiftly moved closer. I thrashed my arms in the water, trying to swim away, when the shark swam right past me. I stopped thrashing.
Would it go away? Would it leave me alone?
My heart and my throat, I started swimming in the other direction toward the reef, away from that fucking shark. I kept my eyes on the fin. Eyes, fin. Eyes, fin. It began to turn. The shark's fin streamed toward me in the wide arc. I let out a terrified groan as I realized it was circling me. Now, I didn't know which way to go. The shark swam between me and the boat. If I could turn around and climb onto the reef, maybe I'd be safe. The huge fin slid closer. I plunged toward the reef. I knew I had to keep a distance between me and the shark. Suddenly, the fin shot up in front of me, between me and the reef. The shark kept circling, closing in, swimming faster, faster, making the circle smaller as he swam. I was trapped, but I couldn't stay still. I couldn't just float here waiting for the shark to eat me. I had to fight. I kicked my legs in a panic as I swam toward the reef. It's not exactly what he's told not to do by Dr. D. I was nearer to the reef now, but the shark's circles grew smaller. Smaller. I breathed in quick, swallowing gasps. I couldn't think clearly. I was too terrified. The same two words echoed in my brain. The shark. The shark. That's stupid. Over and over again. The shark. The shark. The shark swam around me in tight circles. His tail swished, sending up waves of water over me. The shark. The shark. I stared at the monster in wide-eyed horror. He swam so close I could see him clearly. He was big. I got a text message. At least 10 feet long. His head was wide and hideous. Long like the head of a hammer, with an eye on each end. I heard my voice quivering. No! No! Something cold brushed my leg. The shark! The shark! My stomach lurched. I threw my head back and let out a howl of sheer terror. Aye! Pain jolted down my spine. The shark had bumped me with its snout. My body rose out of the water, then hit the surface with a smickety-iggity smack. Sorry I woke you up, Franklin. I understand how you could be asleep listening to this, because dear God. I froze. The shark was hungry. It wanted to fight. It circled me again, then zoomed straight for me. Its jaws opened. I saw rows and rows of sharp-ass teeth. I screamed out a hoarse, "No!" I thrashed. I panicked. I kicked with all my strength. The razor teeth brushed by, just missing my leg. The reef. I had to get to the reef. It was my only chance. I dove for the coral. The shark plunged toward me. I dodged it once more. I grabbed the red coral. Pain shot through my fucking hand. The fire coral. I didn't give a shit. The top of the reef sat just above the surface of the water. I tried to pull myself up. My whole body stung. I had almost made it. Soon I'd be safe. With a mighty kick, I hoisted myself onto the reef and was yanked back into the water. My stomach slammed against the side of the reef. I felt a sharp stab of pain in my leg. I tried to pull my leg away. I couldn't. It was caught in the jaws of the shark. My mind screamed with terror. The shark. The shark. It got me. Chapter 13, this one is dedicated to me because it takes me like 3 hours to get each episode out, and each episode's only half a book, so it takes like 6 hours every book, and people yell at me if I don't get them out. Chapter 13, yeah, this one's for me. My entire body burned with pain. I slipped heavily into the water. The shark knew he had me. I had no strength left to fight. Then something splashed nearby. The shark released my leg and jerked toward the splash. I had no time to catch my breath. The shark circled back. It charged at me. The gaping jaws moved in for the kill. I shut my eyes and let out a shrill of terror. A second passed. Then another. Nothing happened. I heard a loud thump. I opened my eyes. Something had come between me and the shark. A few feet in front of me, I stared. The water churned white. A long, shiny green fishtail rose out of the water and splashed back down. Come on.
Not another fish was fighting the shark. What's this goddamn book about? Fucking mermaids, asshole. All right, we'll figure this out. The shark rolled over, then attacked. The green fishtail smacked the shark hard. The shark went under. I couldn't see shit. The water rocked higher, tossing up frothy white waves. All around me, the water bubbled and churned white with foam. Over the crash of the water, I heard shrill animal squeals. Sharks don't squeal, do they? I thought. Was it making that sound? The shark surfaced, its toothy jaws gaping. It snapped them at something once, twice. Snapped the air. The long green fishtail rose out of the water and smacked the shark hard. A direct hit, right on top of its fucking dome piece. The shark shut its jaws and sank below the surface. Then I heard a loud bump. The water stopped churning. A second later, the huge gray fin surfaced a few yards away, speeding off in the other direction. The shark was swimming away. I stared at the green fishtail as it arced over the dark, swelling water. As the waters calmed, I heard a low, musical sound. It was beautiful and slightly sad, whistling and humming at the same time. It sounded like a whale, but this creature was much smaller than a whale. The green tail swung around, then the creature lifted its head. A head with long blonde hair and big ol' fucking titties! It was the mermaid. This concludes part one of Deep Trouble by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune. I don't know. I feel like I have nothing to say. I'm gonna go for a walk. I might walk to stupid fucking Applebee's I don't even enjoy. But it's like a perfect distance where I can walk just over 5 miles from my house and back. Because I need to move. Because spending your Saturdays drinking dirty Shirley's Steel Reserve and recording podcast is no way to become healthy. Once again, I'm on Far Out and stuff. And I might have a show out soon. I'll announce some stuff on here. And Twitter at Dune. Facebook, Dune Reads Goosebumps. Email Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. There's lots of ways to contact me. But until next week, which I'm hoping to maybe out Thursday, or not Thursday, Tuesday, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday will be the second part of this because my girlfriend's birthday's on Saturday when I plan to release this. And obviously I won't be doing stuff then. Am I right? I'm right. Stay spooky, bitches.